بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Allah give us tawfiq to learn more about the glorious Sahaba, the companions, the disciples, the friends, the students, the beloveds of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those who took this beautiful deen to the four corners of the world. Those through whom Quran reached us. Today we learn about one of those who are the Ashara Mubashara, one of the youth of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, who in the initial stages, a young Sahabi whom in the initial stages in Makkah Mukarramah embraces Islam. He was amongst the earliest of Muslims. And from the Ashara Mubashara and from the Muhajireen, he is amongst the last to leave this world. So let's rate it this way. From the Ashara Mubashara, he was the last to leave this world. And he was that Sahabi who was very, very close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nay, a relative of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One whom Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam boasted to others about. He is none other than Sa'd ibn Malik. Sa'd ibn Malik, we know him commonly as Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiyallahu ta'ala an. To understand his ancestry better, he is Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, meaning Sa'd bin Malik bin Uhayb radiyallahu an. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mother is Amina bint Wahab. So Wahab and Uhayb or Wuhayb. So Wahab and Wuhayb were brothers. So Sa'd radiyallahu anhu comes from the family of the mother of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning the Zuhri clan. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on an occasion would see him and say that this is my mother's relative. Hada khali. We translate khal in Arabic as my maternal uncle. But it's not only used for uncle, it's used for any maternal relation. Like am is the paternal uncle and relation. So in this context, here is meant, what is meant by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's statement is, this is my maternal family, my mother's family. فَلْيُرِنِمْ رُؤُنْ خَالَهُ. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam boastfully said to others, show me your mother's family. This is my mother's family. This was the love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had for this great Sahabi radiyallahu anhu. Anyway, how did he embrace Islam? Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu was the means of inviting him to Allah Ta'ala. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu gave him da'wat, so he was amongst those who embraced Islam in the early stages through the efforts of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Another very interesting incident that Sa'd radiallahu anhu narrates to his students. The incident goes like this. It's about the dream of Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu. He said, I saw this dream 3 days prior to my embracing Islam, that I was in a dark area. The area was pitch black and I was lost. And then all of a sudden, إِذْ أَضَاءَ لِي قَمَارٌ فَاتَّبَعْتُهُ. When a bright full moon appears before me. So I followed this light of the moon and I'm following this light. And when I finally get there, I see this light and there I find Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anhu, Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhum. So I asked them, when did you all get here? They said, we just got here shortly, meaning a little while ago. And at that time, the message had come to me that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is calling to Allah, is secretly inviting to Allah on an individual basis, one-on-one, person to person. Allah give us tawfiq, respected listeners. This was one of the main da'wats of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba radiyallahu anhum. Yes, one is da'wat that we give and we hear in the lecture. But your friend, your associate, your comrade, your colleague, your friend, your teacher, your employee, employer would be influenced by you if we were to invite him to Allah on an individual basis. This is a very, very important part of our inviting to Allah Ta'ala. And then I went to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was in Ajyad. He had just performed the Asr Salah. And I asked him, O Nabi of Allah, what is your da'wat? And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained to me Shahada and Risala
And I embraced Islam. And that's when I found out that there was none other than those few who I had seen in my dream who had embraced Islam before me. Namely, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anhu, and Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhum. But now, when Sa'ad radiallahu anhu had become Muslim, the news then spread. And his mother got to know of this. And really, was she enraged. Sa'ad radiallahu anhu's mother's name was Hamna bint Sufyan bin Umayyah bin Abd Manaf. When she got to know, when Hamna got to know of the Islam of her son Sa'ad radiallahu anhu. Now because in history we learn Abu Waqqas, who is Malik, was not around at this time. Sa'ad radiallahu anhu was a very young man. His beard hadn't yet grown. He was just 17 years young. And he was an orphan child. That actually gave him a very close relationship with his mother. So he was known for his loyalty to his mother. And when he had embraced Islam, his mother, غضبت غضبا شديدا, she was enraged. And she took oaths to the extent that she said, I would not eat or drink or take shelter and shade until Sa'ad denounces Iman on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now remember, respected listeners, respected lovers of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Sa'ad radiallahu anhu just embraced Islam and he's joining Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's sitting in the halqas of ta'aleem. He's becoming close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His mother, who he has been loyal to all his life, takes an oath now that she refuses to eat or drink. And Sa'ad radiallahu anhu is there by his mother. Imagine the scene. He implores his mother, please ma, eat. He tries to feed her. He tries to quench her. She refuses. And she knows how close, what a bond they have. And she knows how he would become insulted or rebuked if any harm afflicts her. She finally says to her son, that you know my son, if I die or I suffer, you would be blamed all your life and you would regret because you caused my harm. And Sa'ad radiallahu anhu now is thinking to himself, yes, I must be loyal to my mother. But if I succumb, what comes first? And yes, did he make the correct decision? Allah comes first. Deen comes first. Yes, we love our mothers. We love our fathers. We love our seniors. But Allah comes first. We listen to our mothers and fathers because that is the injunction of Sharia, because that is the order of Allah. But if my mother or father instructs me to do something that is contrary to the order of Allah, I would put Allah first and forsake the order of mother and father. We must show kindness to our parents, even if they are non-Muslim. But Allah comes first. And look at Sa'ad radiallahu anhu, what a lesson he taught the ummah, a practical lesson. A man who so closely bonded to his mother Hamna. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So Sa'ad radiallahu anhu sees his mother suffer. Please ma partake, please ma eat. And she remained like this for an entire day and an entire night. She didn't eat a morsel, nor swallow one sip of water. And she was now exhausted, and she was drained out. And then she continued for another day. And when I saw how difficult this is, I am there by her, I'm sitting by her, imploring her. She was adamant, and so was I, because I understood Iman comes first. Then I said to her, Ya Ummah, O my beloved mother, I must clarify one thing to you, Ma. Wallah, لو كانت لك مئة نفس فخرجت نفسا بعد نفس ما تركت ديني هذا لشيء إن شئت فكلي وإن شئت فلا تأكلي. Ma, I must clarify something. If my Allah were to give you 100 lives, 100 lifespans, and I see you die, and I see your one life after the other come out of you in front of my eyes, still too, Ma, I can see you die 100 times. Still my Allah comes first. My deen comes first. I love you, Ma. I'll do everything for you. But Allah comes first. Ma, you can eat if you want. And if you want, I can't force you. You don't have to eat. But I will not forsake my deen. La ilaha illallah. This incident prompted revelation of Quran. Because this is a lesson for the ummah, that Allah comes first. Allah is priority. Allah is the goal. Allah's order is priority. The verses of Quran in Surah An-Kabut, verse number 8. Allah says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حُسْنًا وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ لِتُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا إِلَيَّ مَرْجِعُكُمْ فَأُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Quran says, Allah says, we strongly advocate on man to be kind to both his parents. But if both parents force you to ascribe partners unto Allah, meaning to do something that Allah doesn't want you to do, in that case, do not listen to them. Then Allah says, to me is your return, and I shall inform you of your actions. I'm just remembering quite a few incidents that happened. Now and again, we're going to the masjid. I'm just sharing this with you. It might benefit some of you, or some of you might have experienced this. Quite a few times we would find a person going in the contrary, in the opposite direction of the masjid. So quite a few times I would call this brother and say, my brother, do you know this is the Adhan? And these are Muslims. So he would say, yes, I know this is Adhan. So I ask him, if your boss, the boss of your company, called you, would you obey and abide and go towards him? He said, obviously. I asked him, if your father called you, would you listen and approach him and listen to him? He said, of course. So I'm explaining to him, see, this adhan is the call of Allah. And this is the meaning of the adhan. How more emphatic is this call than any other call? So many a time the brother would listen and think and ponder, and he would, alhamdulillah, change directions and come to the masjid. So this is a beautiful way of us considering and understanding the adhan ourselves, and also explaining to others. And this is how Sa'ad radiallahu anhu explained and taught to the ummah how Allah comes first. Aisha bint Sa'ad radiallahu anhu, Sa'ad radiallahu anhu's daughter, described Hazrat Sa'ad radiallahu anhu to be a man. Kana abi rajulan qasira. He was short in his stature. Dahdaha. He was round in his appearance. Ghaliza. Quite hefty. Rahama. He had a moderately large head. Shathnul asabi'. And his fingers were huge, or had flesh in them. Ash'ar. He was a man who had lots of hair. Yakhdibu bisawad. And he would use, very often, he would use henna and mendi. This is how his daughter Aisha radiallahu anha describes Hazrat Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Something else very interesting about Sa'ad radiallahu anhu is that despite his tender age, when he was a young man, he would always keep the company of the seniors and the elders. And that actually enhanced his mindset and his understanding. So he was a young man, but he had the intellect of the seniors. And he would never waste time. Even in his tender age, he would rather occupy himself in something beneficial. Like he was always found, carving arrows and preparing bows and doing something beneficial that would have a long-term benefit. Yes, he was a very brave man. Something else recorded about him, that he was the first Sahabi radiallahu anhu to shoot an arrow in the path of Allah. And he was the first Sahabi to fight in the way of Allah Ta'ala. Anyway, the shooting the arrow part was during the Medinan stage, and a skirmish that broke out, that was during the Meccan stage. What had happened was, in the initial stages of the Meccan period of Dawat, of the effort of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Muslims would secretly perform their prayer. So Sa'ad radiallahu anhu and the other Sahaba were performing their salah secretly in one valley. So the mushrikeen had found them and attacked them. So the Muslims fought back defending themselves, and Sa'ad radiallahu anhu fought the one who fought him, and he struck that individual, and then he bled. So he was the first to fight in Allah Ta'ala's way during the Meccan stage. That was Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu.
where he shot first in the path of Allah, it was an expedition before Badr. He was under the leadership of Ubaidah bin Haritha radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent them to strive in Allah's way during the Medinan period to an area called Rabigh. And there they were attacked, and Sa'd radiallahu anhu strongly with his archery skills defended all his men. And he was the first to shoot an arrow in the path of Allah ta'ala. Wherein he renders these words of poetry famously documented in history, wherein Sa'd radiallahu anhu says, Ala hal ata rasulallahi amni hamaytu sahabati bisuduri nabli adudu biha aduwahumu ziyada bikulli hazunatin wa bikulli sahli fama yu'taddu ramin min ma'addin bisahmin ma' rasulillahi qabli. He says, the news has come to my Nabi. So he wants Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to know that how I defended my saatis using my arrows. I defended them from their enemies severely in every highland and lowland, whether on the mountain or whether in the inlands. And who can challenge me that I shot the arrow first in Allah ta'ala's path? That was Sa'd radiallahu anhu, a very, very brave sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. During Badr as well, Sa'd radiallahu anhu received Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's du'as. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahumma stajib li Sa'adin. Oh Allah, answer the du'as of Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In Tariq Dimashq, there's a different wording to the hadith that actually clarifies the entire hadith, wherein Sa'ad radiallahu anhu requested Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi of Allah, make du'a for me, that Allah answers all my du'as. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, O Sa'ad, let me give you the anecdote. Allah will answer the du'as of that person who makes sure his every meal he partakes, nay, every morsel he swallows is of halal sources. Ya Sa'ad, inna Allah la yastajibu du'a abdin hatta tatiba tu'matuhu. Allah will not respond to one's du'as until his meal that he partakes of is tayyib and halal. Sa'ad radiallahu anhu even on one occasion asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi of Allah, make dua for me. That Allah give me tawfiq that I make sure that every morsel that I partake of is halal. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for him. Allahumma atib tu'mata sa'adin. To such an extent that if anything doubtful came in the food of his animals too, he would make sure all that was put back for the other animals. But he would not partake of anything doubtful, nor any of his property. This was what the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala that Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala anhu had. Let us all, you know, strive towards this. That before we partake of anything, let's make sure it is halal. That is part of the duties of a believer. Allah Ta'ala forgive us. Today we take this matter of halal so lightly that we just partake of anything, afterwards we want to verify. But that we ate it already. How come when it comes to things like health or some, you know, important test or gram that we have to go for, we make sure we go to the best doctor. We won't just go to any person who's just doing some backdoor operation. No, this is an operation to be done. A heart transplant, for example. A person will go to the best. Not to someone who's, for example, in another faculty, like fixing cars, a mechanic. Now you want him to do for you a heart transplant? No, it doesn't work. He fixes cars. This man has to work on the body of a human being. So regarding aspects of our health, we make sure we find the best. Why don't we make sure what we partake of, our intake, is totally halalan tayyiban. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. And Allah instructs us with this in the Qur'an Kareem. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كلوا من طيبات ما رزقناكم واشكروا لله. Eat of طيبات of what we have provided for you and appreciate Allah Ta'ala. And then Allah Ta'ala says elsewhere in the Quran, حلالا طيبا. Eat halal and طيب. Something interesting about Sa'ad radiallahu anhu in Badr. Sa'ad radiallahu anhu says that I found my brother amongst the participants of Badr, the veterans of Badr, and he was concealing himself. رَأَيْتُ أَخِي عُمَيْرَ بْنَ أَبِي وَقَّاصٍ يَوْمَ بَدْرٍ يَتَوَارَى. I found him to be concealing himself. So I said, my brother, what happened? Why are you doing this? He says, oh my senior brother, I fear that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would see me and then deem me unfit and small. And I want to come out in the path of Allah because I want to be shaheed in Allah's way. Allahu Akbar. And when Umayr radiallahu anhu was presented to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, son, you are too young, irji'. Umayr started crying, the brother of Sa'd radiallahu anhu. And when he cried so profusely, It's made Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emotional. فَأَجَازَهُ رَسُولُ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Despite his tender age, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam permitted Umayr radiallahu anhu. Sa'ad radiallahu anhu says, then I tied his sword in a specific manner so that it doesn't drag. It's easier for him to strike. He was 15 at that time. And it was during the Battle of Badr where Amr bin Abdi Wud, who was a tyrannical tyrant in Makkah, and he was known to be a very, very dangerous character. He was one that even the Meccans would instill fear in their children. So to say, make them sleep using the name of Amr bin Abdi Wud, that some people sadly use the tales of Rumpelstiltskin, which is something inappropriate. We should not instill fear in our children when going to sleep. We should inspire them with incidents of courage. We should narrate to our children the incidents of the lives of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum before they get tucked in bed. And then we should teach them the sunnah of dusting the bedding and then sitting on the bed and reciting the quls and reciting the tasbihat. This is a practice that we should do with our children and then narrate incidents of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum to them. And thinking about Sahaba, we should encourage our children to go to sleep. Allah save us. Sadly, people are making gadgets available to their children. We are ruining the iman of our children through those gadgets. What are you doing, my respected elder, my respected listener? What we're doing is we're making our children defiant. Try it. Give that child that gadget and then call him. Even the sixth or the seventh time, he never heard you. But before that, any khidmah you encourage the child to do, he is ready. But that gadget makes the child so stubborn and defiant where his mind is focused on that also. Whether they can hear or not, Allah Ta'ala knows best. But Allah Ta'ala save us. Let us not be unwise. Never let our children go to sleep utilizing such dangerous gadgets. And sadly, sometimes our children are completing the khatam of the Qur'an-i Kareem. Such an achievement. Yes, we want to award them for that because it's such an achievement that they have done towards their deen. But then we actually give them then a phone. Allah Ta'ala help us and save us and guide us to give our children and our offspring the correct upbringing like Sa'ad radiallahu anhu and Umayr bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. And yes, did Umayr become shaheed? He was amongst the 12 shuhada of Badr. Sa'ad radiallahu anhu says, in Badr I shot Suhail bin Amr. This was before he had become a great Sahabi radiallahu anhu. And what happened was his vein was wounded, the vein on the thigh. In Arabic it's called Nasa, the sciatic vein. And then I followed the stains of his blood and I found him then in the captivity of Malik bin Dukhshum. And then Malik bin Dukhshum had taken control over him as his captive. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took back all the captives because then the verdict came from Quran, meaning regarding the captives of Badr. After Badr, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gifted Sa'ad radiallahu anhu the sword of As bin Sa'id. So Sa'ad radiallahu anhu was also a veteran of Badr and his brother Umayr was the shaheed in Badr. Let's encourage our children and ourselves to learn the names of the veterans of Badr, 313 Sahaba radiallahu anhu who participated in Badr. And especially if we can't remember those 313 names, at least remember the 12 shuhada of Badr. Allah give us tawfiq. In regards to Sa'ad radiallahu anhu's participation in Uhud, Sa'ad radiallahu anhu says that in Uhud, Allah sent an angel to help me. I would shoot an arrow and a very, very handsome creation of Allah, dressed in white and very beautiful, would then return the arrows to me until I realized it was an angel of Allah Ta'ala. It's recorded in Bukhari Sharif with the chain. Sa'ad radiallahu anhu says, I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Uhud. And with him were two men on his either side, on his sides, dressed in white, striving and fighting and defending Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I never saw anyone fight with such valorism and bravery like them, ever before or after. مَا رَأَيْتُهُمَا قَبْلُ وَلَا بَعْدُ. And nor did I ever see them before that or after that. Meaning these were angels sent by Allah Ta'ala to defend Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Uhud. It's reported by scholars of history like Muhammad bin Shihab al-Zuhri rahimahullah, one of the greatest historians and narrators under the subject of seerah and history. He says, At a certain point in Uhud, no one knew the whereabouts of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, except six individuals who were with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and who guarded Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam during Uhud all the time. They were Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam radiyallahu anhu, Talha ibn Ubaidillah radiyallahu anhu, Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas radiyallahu anhu, Ka'ab bin Malik radiyallahu anhu, Abu Dujana Ansari radiyallahu anhu, and Sahal bin Hunayf radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And something else, it was during Uhud again, where Sa'ad radiyallahu anhu received another dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allahumma saddid ramyata wa ajib da'wata. Oh Allah, strengthen and straighten the target and the shot of Sa'ad radiyallahu anhu, meaning help him to shoot and reach his target, and Allah, you answer all his du'as. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu says, like reported in Isti'ab of Hafiz bin Abdul Bar rahimahullah and Mustadrak of Hakim, Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for Sa'ad radiyallahu anhu. Allahumma saddid sahma. Allah straighten his target and his shot in his archery. Wa ajib da'wata. And Allah answer his du'as. Wa habibhu ila ibadik. And Allah make him beloved to your servants. Allahu Akbar. That's why every one of us love all the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, especially Sa'ad radiyallahu anhum, and the other Ashara Mubashara radiyallahu anhum. In Sahih Muslim it's reported that Sa'ad radiyallahu anhum said that there was one man from the mushrikeen in Uhud who was harming the Muslims. And the words of the hadith says, قَدْ أَحْرَقَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. He was blazing them, devastating them. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed Sa'ad radiyallahu anhu this way, إِرْمِي فِدَاكَ أَبِي وَأُمِّي. O Sa'ad, shoot. May my parents be sacrificed for you. He says, I shot and I shot. Until I had no feathers left on my arrows, I took an arrow without a feather, and I shot it towards one, and I hit him on his forehead. He fell down on his nape, on his back, raising his feet to the sky, exposing himself. And that made Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam smile, that how I hit my target. Hatta badat nawajiguhu. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam then gave me a brimming smile. That's why his daughter, Sa'ad radiallahu anhu's daughter, who was Aisha radiallahu anha, she would say, in appreciating Allah's favor, that I am the daughter of that muhajir who Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved him so much, that he was the exclusive individual whom Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made this statement, fidaka abi wa ummi. Now this is a statement where Sahaba radiallahu anhu would say to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that O Nabi of Allah, we love you more than our parents. And may our parents be sacrificed for you. Yes, there's meanings to this, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is more important to us than our parents also. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is more important to us than everything in the world. Like in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah's Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, and this is the teaching of deen, this is from Allah, that la yu'minu ahadukum, your iman can never be complete until I become more beloved to you than your parents and your children and everyone else in this world. And Allah says this in the Quran. Quran tells us about 8 things on the one side of the scale and 3 mighty gifts of Allah on the other side of the scale. Meaning, on the one side of the scale comes one's children, one's wealth, one's property, one's home. This is in Surah Tawbah, one's palatial homes, one's investments, one's, things of this world. And on the other side is Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam and striving for Allah. Allah Ta'ala wants us, Allah allows us to love our family, our children, our wealth, our degrees, our faculties, our studies, but Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam must come first, and striving for Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah give us tawfiq. So Sa'ad radiallahu anhu is exclusively that individual whom Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made the statement to him that may my parents be sacrificed for you. It doesn't have the literal meaning, but it does show a lot of love and value to this great Sahabi, Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So Sa'ad radiyallahu anhu remained close to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in all the expeditions, whether it was Khaybar or Hunayn or Fath Makkah. On every occasion he was right there. Something else Sa'ad radiyallahu anhu taught the ummah is the quality of clean-heartedness, to have a pure, clean heart. One day Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting with his sahaba radiyallahu anhum, and he mentioned to them that yatlu'u alaykum al-an rajulun min ahli al-jannah, a man who would enter just now is certainly a Jannati. He's guaranteed Jannat. And who comes in? A Sahabi of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, holding his sandals in his left hand, and he comes and sits in the teachings of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That happened the first day, and the second day, and the third day. To such an extent that senior Sahaba wanted the qualities of Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu. A great Sahabi, Abdullah bin Amr bin As radiallahu anhu, goes to the home of Sa'ad saying, please, I have some trouble at home. Can I spend some time with you? I want to be in your company. So probably there was some challenge because Sahaba radiallahu anhu were truthful. But see, his intentions of coming to Sa'ad radiallahu anhu is to learn the qualities of Sa'ad radiallahu anhu. And he watched Sa'ad radiallahu anhu day and night on the 3 days. And afterwards he comes and says, my main reason for coming is to learn your qualities. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this about you, that you are a Jannati walking on this dunya. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave this glad tidings. Sa'ad radiallahu anhu says, what you saw is who I am. But then the Sahabi says, but everyone does that. Tahajjud, a'mal, so many good deeds. But all of us do that. What makes you stand out and special? But what made Sa'ad radiallahu anhu stand out is the quality that was common among Sahaba radiallahu anhum and special in Sa'ad radiallahu anhu. That always would he make sure that his heart was clean. Clean hearted towards every creation of Allah Ta'ala. That he would never go to bed with harboring ill feeling or rancor towards any of Allah Ta'ala's creation. Allah give us this quality. Allah give us tawfiq to inculcate this in us. This was the quality of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And then something else very interesting is that on the occasion of Hajjatul Wada', Sahaba radiallahu anhum were in Makkah Mukarramah and Sa'ad radiallahu anhu fell ill in Makkah Mukarramah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to visit him, and many felt that Sa'ad radiallahu anhu was so sick he's going to leave this world. That's why even the hadith of inheritance, wherein how much should one leave for one's children? How much should one leave for one's children and so forth? Sa'ad radiallahu anhu is the narrator of that hadith because he felt he was going to leave this world. Anyway, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for him, and through the duas of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah ta'ala's mercy, Sa'ad radiallahu anhu was given shifa. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's dua for him on Hajjatul Wada' is quoted by Ibn Kathir rahimahullah. Allahumma adhib anhu al-ba's, ilaha al-nas, malika al-nas, anta shafi, la shafiya illa ant, bismillahi arqiq, min kulli shay'in yu'dhik, min hasadin wa'ayn, Allahumma asihha qalba, wa jisma, wakshif saqma, wa ajib da'wata. And Allah ta'ala gave him shifa. But in that hadith, the mention is made of how Sahaba radiallahu anhum didn't want to pass away in a land that they left for Allah. Because in that hadith it comes, but Sa'ad bin Khawla was the one who was unfortunate because he passed away in the land that he left for Allah Ta'ala. Sahaba radiallahu anhum did not want to leave this world at home. What a mizaj. Of course it is so virtuous to leave this world in Makkah Mukarramah and in Medina Munawwara. But Sahaba radiallahu anhum had this understanding that if I left something for Allah, I don't want to come, I don't want to leave this world there. And Sahaba radiallahu anhum wanted to fulfill the requisite, the requirement of the deen, and in that pass away. This was the mizaj of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Allah give us some of that feeling and fervor for his Mubarak deen. There is a beautiful hadith narrated by Aisha radiallahu anha, also portraying Sa'ad radiallahu anhu's fervor to be close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and guard and protect Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said one day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a worry, and he said that I wish my Sahabi comes to guard me. And then we heard some sounds of weapons outside Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's tent. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, who is it? And Sa'ad radiallahu anhu says, I am your Nabi of Allah, Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas. I am here to protect you and be on guard for you, on the lookout for you, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was happy that Sa'ad radiallahu anhu came. And he went and he rested in a deep sleep. But obviously Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was conscious of Allah ta'ala and conscious all the time, whether in awakeness or in sleep, like he mentioned in the ahadith, that my eyes sleep but my heart does not sleep. But this is the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anhu showing Sa'ad radiallahu anhu's closeness to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was protected by Allah ta'ala. Wallahu ya'asimuka minan nas. But on that occasion, yes, he wanted Sa'ad radiallahu anhu to come by him. So Sa'ad radiallahu anhu was that courageous man for this task of defending and helping and serving and protecting. Sa'id ibn Musayyab rahimahullah says so beautifully that Sa'ad radiallahu anhu was the best archer. And Abu Ishaq rahimahullah says, from all the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, everyone was strong. But in strength, four stood out. Arba'a. Umar radiallahu anhu, Ali radiallahu anhu, Az-Zubayr radiallahu anhu, and Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So this was the courage of all the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Sa'ad radiallahu anhu's life has so many lessons, and there's much more to discuss. We will continue in the forthcoming discussion about the life, the beautiful life, inspirational life of Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the relative, the family of the mother, the blessed mother of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
I wanna go where I'll be happy. Gardens where rivers flow eternally. I wanna go see endless promises to those believers who walk His path. I'm but a stranger in a hostile world, and I cannot savor this land on